Why don't you stand with me, please? As we look at God's Word, the Bible says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God and for the privilege that's ours to be able to study this book. And I pray that it is our desire that we are risen with Christ. I hope that every person here knows you as their personal Savior. And I pray that if that's not the case, then before they leave, they will know you by inviting you into their heart as their Lord and Savior. Now, as we examine your Word, teach it to us through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Everyone's story is different, but everyone has a story. Just by review, Revelation 1:19 talks, the Lord told John on the Isle of Patmos to write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And for you and I in our life, we could write a book, if you will, about the things that we've been through, where we are, and where we expect to go, or what we're looking forward to seeing. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, "But I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." So you and I, the title of this series of messages is Living with a Purpose. And in case you don't know it, you are here for God's glory. God put you here. He made you. You are not some cosmic accident. They're going to be studying the Truth Project here in church, which is an absolutely excellent, incredible study. Del Tackett is a master teacher, and he will equip you and teach you some things and get you to think about some things that possibly you've not thought about before, but you are not a cosmic accident. You were put here by God. He gave you the breath of life, and you are here for his glory. Now, the reality of it is, whether you know Christ as your Savior or not, you are still here for his glory, and he will use your life. And I recommend you know him as your Savior. You can work with God or you can fight against God. And there are a lot of people out there fighting God, not willing to submit. Pride keeps them from surrendering to God's will. Now, I was thinking a little bit about pride this week. I have a certain element of pride in my own life, and everyone does. It's not anything that I'm proud of, if you could say that. But when you're thinking about pride, what happens is that you want your way, you want it when you want it. Yeah, I want it. How's that phrase go? I want what I want when I want it, okay? And that's pretty much how I run the house at home. But anyway, having said that, the reality of it is I want it my way because I think my way is best. And that's a prideful thing. And so when it's not going your way, anger can set in, or you can start getting frustrated, or you can be mad at someone, and we'll get into some of these things a little bit further. But in doing so, what you are saying through your emotions, whether you verbalize it or not, is that you are the most important, and it's either my way or the highway, because I'm right and you're not. That's pride. Now, having said that, that means, now follow me with this, that means that you believe you're smarter than the person you're dealing with. Because whatever they're thinking is obviously not right, because they're not doing what you expect them to do, and I am right and you are wrong. That's pride. Are we on the page on, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not going to ask if you agree, because that'll kill me if you don't agree. Okay. So for me, for my pride to keep me from accepting God's plan for my life means I am smarter than God. Follow me? That's the deal. No, God, I'm not doing what you want. I'm going to do what I want because I think my way is better. That makes me smarter than you are. That's idiotic. That is really? So I'm only sharing that with you to say if there's anybody that we can honestly bury our pride to without losing our pride, it's to God Almighty. Because I'll tell you what, He knows more than you do. You following me? And it's frustrating when people fight against God because God is infinite, He's wise, He makes no mistakes. And you can say, well, I can't follow a God I can't figure out. Well, that's crazy. If you could figure Him out, He wouldn't be God. He is infinitely wiser, infinitely smarter than you are, infinitely more powerful than you are. He is worthy of everything you have and more. And to surrender to Him is the greatest win you will ever experience. That's the Christian experience. That's life. That's knowing Him as your Savior. Don't fight Him. Follow Him. Obey Him. And when you do, oh, it's the greatest life that you can possibly live. But down through history in our Bible, we've seen many times where people fought against God. Pharaoh fought God and lost. Jonah fought the call of God and lost. Now, obviously going on to serve God. The Apostle Paul thought he was serving God when he was killing Christians named Saul. But he was fighting God, and God confronted him on it and said, hey, what are you doing? It's hard to kick against these things, isn't it? And obviously, you and I would make a great error in fighting God's plan for our life. He put you here on purpose for a reason. If you're fighting God this morning, either not knowing Him as your Savior, or maybe you're a Christian and He has a plan that you don't want to go along with, listen, you are wasting valuable time in the life that God has given you. And as soon as you get on board, believe me, the journey will get a whole lot better when you're working with God rather than against God. There was a man named Gamaliel in Acts chapter 5. And early on, when the church was started in the book of Acts, let's just go back to don't lose your place in Colossians, but actually we'll be going to another portion. But in the book of Acts, you have to understand that for the established religion of the day, when the message of Christ came along, and obviously Jesus performed all these miracles, and then he died and was resurrected, and he went back to heaven, and the disciples are running around performing miracles and doing incredible things, and the message of the Christian church that you and I know to be true now thousands of years later was brand new. You know, there's a time when a message is new. Now, I know we love the old-fashioned gospel, but it's old-fashioned to us. It was new back then. It was new teaching to say that the Messiah had come. They'd been watching for Him for a long time, but at this point in the early church, this was a new idea that the Messiah had come because they'd been looking for Him for a long time. And they didn't know whether to believe it or not, and many people did not believe. And a man named Gamaliel, who was also probably the teacher of Saul as a Pharisee, if you look at Acts chapter 5 and verse number 38, they're trying to figure out just what to do with these guys that are preaching the gospel. And he said, now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. What they want to do? They want to kill them. Let's just kill them. Well, you can't kill the gospel. It ain't going to happen, okay? But they were trying to wipe them out. And Gamaliel said, look, refrain from these men and leave them alone. For if this counsel be of this work of men, it will come to naught. And he had already listed some people. He said, remember so-and-so and so-and-so. And we've been in Exeter now for 24 years, going on 25 years. And in the process of time, there have been ministries come and go. Now, it doesn't mean they weren't valid, but they've come and gone. Those that have stayed, God has blessed, and those that didn't make it for some reason didn't make it. I don't know. I'm not going to say they weren't of God. They could have been. Different things happen. But I will tell you that if it's got staying power, it's going to stay. And if it doesn't, it won't. Does that make sense? And early on, he listed a bunch of people that did not have staying power and they were gone. But he said, if this thing be of men, it's not going to last. But verse number 39 says, but if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply be found even to fight against God. And that's what Gamaliel's wise enough to see. He said, listen, leave it alone. If it's no good, it'll die off anyway. But if it's of God, I don't want any business in fighting God himself. You can't fight God. Say that with me. You can't fight God. And I recommend you not even try. So early on, there was a question as to whether or not the disciples were saying, what the disciples were saying was true. But now, thousands of years later, a completed book called the Bible, in millions of changed lives, the proof is obvious that a life modeled after and obedient to the things of the Lord is like no other. And I thought it was slick where Tom played the Gideon video, and you see people struggling, and they find a copy of the Word of God, and over thousands and thousands of testimonies of people where no one else was there but God's Word. And when they got into God's Word, it transformed and changed their lives. And I don't know about you, but I hope this morning you have experienced that transforming power that only comes through Jesus Christ, where when you know Him and have a relationship with Him, you have a reason for living. I have a reason for living. Say that with me. I have a reason for living. Don't you ever forget it. God put you here, and He'll be the one to decide when He's done with you. And if you're here and you're breathing the breath of life, He's not done with you. So that's what they were trying to determine. And then we know that, and this is all review, the past has shaped our present. I grew up in a Christian home. I chose Christ, and obviously I want to live for Him, and He has blessed my life. And so our text this morning says in Colossians 3 and verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, while Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Last week I shared some things for you that motivate me, and I'll just give them to you very quickly. But obviously in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there's a great passage there that talks about, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I want you to know someday we're all going to stand before God. It's as real as I'm standing before you today. And I mentioned to then, and I'll say it again, I'm going to be nervous. Not for my salvation, but when you stand before the God of all creation, who has it all, knows it all, sustains it all, and who am I? Standing before God Almighty, and you think, hey, big guy, how you doing? No, I don't think so. I am going to be petrified. Now, I'll move on. We're going to stand before God. 2 Corinthians 5:11, that's verse 10. Verse 11 says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You know, there was a term in society that wasn't that old, that long ago. We used to talk about God-fearing people. Did you ever hear about God-fearing anymore? That's gone. Used to talk about, 50 years ago, you always said, that's a God-fearing individual. I think we ought to bring that term back. I think you and I ought to be living that term of being God-fearing people, knowing the terror of the Lord, which prayed. And verse 14 says, for the love of Christ constrains us. And I don't know about you, but love ought to motivate you. Isn't it great to know that you're loved? I was talking to someone recently, and they're thinking about, there was this person that is obviously a man and a woman, and they were considering whether they should be together, and he's who he is, and she's who she is, and I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, pal, if she's interested in you, have you looked in a mirror lately? You ought to be interested in her, you know? Now, isn't that awful? That's a guy. But have you looked in a mirror lately, folks? There's a God in heaven that loves you. We don't deserve that love. And I don't know about you, but I want to return some of that. He's been awesome to me. It's just incredible, the life that I get to live because of Jesus Christ. And if He loves me, I want to do something for Him. I'm going to stand before Him. The terror of the Lord ought to persuade you. The love of Christ ought to constrain you. There ought to be something that motivates you in your life for the Lord. So just stop for a second. Bob Jones Sr., the founder of Bob Jones University, was walking along a beach one day, and I've heard the story, and he said it occurred to him. He said, even if I took a gun and blew my brains out, I would never stop living. And he said, and that was the thing that got a hold of him. He said, no matter what, he said, I'm never going to stop living. And it was that truth that motivated him to live his life with a purpose. That I'm never going to stop living. And I want to honor God in the life that I have. And for you and I, there ought to be some foundational truth that motivates you every day for the cause of Christ. Maybe there's several, maybe there's one for me. My life verse is John 9:4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And you and I only have a certain amount of time to serve the Lord. And while we are here, don't waste time not doing that, because minutes are passing by that you cannot get back. There ought to be something that motivates you. And David Brainerd prayed, Lord, let me make a difference for you that is utterly disproportionate to who I am. I like that. Let me make a difference for you that is utterly disproportionate to who I am. And I believe that God can use you in this life, and even after you're gone, to do incredible things for the cause of Christ. And I don't know about you, but I don't want what I've done to stop when I'm gone. I want it to carry on till Christ comes back. And obviously, so here we are. That's our review. We got 5 minutes now to lay down new territory. Okay? So I'm always trying to think of a way. How can I illustrate to you what we're talking about? Our past shapes our present, but our present is where we are. And so how many have been on a long ride in the car? I'm not talking here to Bangor. I'm talking here to Florida, here out west, somewhere like that. Roger and Diane, we've done that. Well, especially when, now that we're older, it's not a big deal, but when you're young, what's the question you're always asking? Are we there yet? Oh, my word, you guys are prophets. Prophet, you know what? You read my mind. You're going along, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And honestly, as a kid, you are in pain, physical pain. It's just forever, you know? And the three of us would sit in the back seat of the car, and we're bouncing back and forth and fighting. And my parents would say, we're going to pull over and thrash you guys. And does your mom would say, does your father need to take his belt off? And you know what that means? And all that stuff. It was just chaos going along in the road, because we're living for the right now. And right now, this is awful. We're not concerned about where we're going. Right now, we're in pain. So you can be either in the moment or for the moment. You with me? You can either be in the moment or for the moment. Those that are living for the moment are making poor choices. But if you can just appreciate the moment that you're in, recognizing that you're on the journey. Nowadays, we got, I'm going nowhere this morning, I can tell that. But nowadays, we got all these devices. When we were in, remember the number plate games you'd play, and looking out, and I spy with my little eye something that begins with whatever, you know, and we play all these games, and we're just, somebody just throw me out the car at 70. I just want it over, you know. It's just, this is taking forever, and because it's so hard, you can't see where you're going. It's all about right now. And I'm telling you, Christian, you and I need to be focused in the present on where we are going and not about right now. Does that make sense? And so we're on this ride, and we're going along. And we'll call it the journey of life. And we can look at a map. Nowadays, we got GPS. First time I ever took a ride on GPS, we punched it in, we're taking off. It says, you're going to take you 7 hours to get to where you're going. And I panicked, and I thought, I'm supposed to be there in four. Well, they didn't figure for the speed that I drive and the speed that, you know, but whatever, you know. This isn't on tape, is it? So, but I'm thinking, I need a map. I got to see where I am. And so a lot of times in reality, real life, is that we're on a GPS and we don't have a map. Because we can't really see where we are. We just expect that it knows where we're going. And God knows where we're going. And he's got us on his GPS. But we want a map. And we want to see, how close am I to where I'm getting? In the old days, we'd look at a map. We'd say, well, let's see the map. And then you had maps that would cover the whole United States on one page. Or you'd have a map that would just cover a county. Well, I like the maps that cover just a small area, because then you're driving clear across the page in about an hour and you're really making progress, you know, versus a map that covers the whole country and you've got this dot and you've moved a centimeter in 8 hours and you're thinking, this is taking forever, okay? But you know what? All of those analogies, isn't that how life is? It really is. Lord, this is taking forever. I want a bigger page on the map. I want to know where I am. Where am I going? And we're struggling with all of those things. And he's telling us, be patient. You're going to get there. You're going to get there. I'm going to use you. I've got a plan for your life. And that's where we're at. And so really, I think if we're going to compare the analogy to on a trip and where we're going, I think to me, we're in a traffic jam this morning. There's chaos going on. And it isn't going well. My father-in-law, Bob's here. He likes to ride. We took a family trip one time. We down to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We're coming back on a Sunday. We decided we'd cross the George Washington Bridge. I'd shared this before. For whatever reason, it took us 8 hours to cross the GW. 8 hours. I'm telling you, he had a GPS. I did not. My wife decided to ride with her father. She had her phone on the GPS, and I did not. I'm there with a map. Nowhere else to go but this road. They got their GPS. They're going here, there. Next thing you know, they call me. They're at the hotel 4 hours ahead of me. I'm still on the GW trying to cross. I am so late now. They're done. They're eating pizza. I'm still on the road. And I run into night paving because obviously they were ahead of the night paving. I wasn't. And I lost my religion. My salvation was gone. Life wasn't going well. I have never crossed the GW again. I never will. That bridge doesn't need me, and I don't need it. There's other ways to go. Now, I'm just telling you, there are times where life is not going like you expect, and you're just going crazy. And so if we are in the present this morning, I'm going to tell you where I believe that we are, and we'll pick it up again next week, but I want you to be in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you're using a Pew Bible, we're on page 1272. And I'll give this to you quickly, and we'll be done. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the gathering together unto him, that ye be not shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from that is the day of Christ is at hand. So, just we'll stop right here for just a second. I'll ask fans, are you troubled about anything in life today? Nobody is. I got one, two, three. Okay, I'll ask the question again. Are you troubled about anything in life today? I'm looking for hands. Thank you. I thought, wow, my life is falling apart and yours is perfect. Okay? Times are troubling. There's just so many things going on that concern me, but I believe that they are prophetical in nature. I believe the Bible talks about those things. And in verse number 3, if you're at where are we stand, where would you say we are in the year, in August of 2018? Let no man, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And where we are right now is I want you to know the falling away, if you go to the Greek, and I'm not a Greek scholar, and you don't need Greek to understand God's word, but the falling away is taken from the Greek word apostasia, okay? And it means the leaving of the truth, the defection from truth. Apostasia means I no longer want to believe truth, and I won't. And I'd have to say that is where we are at today. People are not interested in truth. They want to make their own rules. And I'll talk about it more next. No, I won't. I'll talk about it in 2 weeks. Becca's here next Sunday. But here's the deal. And just one illustration of it. There's tons of them. You know, there's 73 designations now for people. There's no longer male and female. They've come up with 73 different identifications that you can identify as that I'm not a man, I'm whatever. 73 different classifications of people. I'm not making this up. It's bizarro. We are in a bizarro world. Well, I want you to know this right now, that God's word says that God created that male and female, and you're either a man or you're a woman, and there's not 71 other things. I'm just saying, or go ahead and, yeah. And I know you're only clapping because you agree with God's word. It is blowing my mind to see in this day and age we are at how crazy we can become without God. Isn't that true? And I want you to celebrate. I want you to thank God that you know Christ is your personal Savior, that you know right from wrong, you know black is black and white is white, that water is wet, the sun is warm when it shines, that carpet is whatever color it is. I think it's green, but I'm in trouble, and it's got some other color in it, but it is what it is. And we can't change it by saying it's something different. And the difference is this. It's Matthew chapter 5 that says that you and I are salt and light. You are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. And here's how we can make a difference. Is that you sprinkle some of your salt. You let your light shine. You show people that there's a God in heaven that loves them. And you stand for the truth. Say that with me. I will stand for the truth. One more time. I will stand for the truth. And you know what? Have fun while you're doing it. Just enjoy yourself. That'll drive them crazy. Because I'll tell you, the life we get to live is amazing. We're in a traffic jam. We're driving down through the Bronx of New York, and there's cars burning on the sides. We're saying, what's going on? But you know what? Christ is our pilot. You'll be okay. Heavenly Father, seems like time goes by so quickly. My concern is for those that don't know you as their personal Savior. My fear for them is that they're going to die and go to hell without you. And that's not because I say so, but because your word says so, and I will not change what your word says. I will not become part of the apostasy. And I pray that it is our desire to just give you our best. Lord, we chose you as our Savior. And you said if we be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Lord, we're not trying to be so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good, but I'll tell you, it's been a while since I've met someone like that. Because it seems like we're pretty earthly minded these days. I pray that every person here at some point in their life has said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Forgive my sins. I believe in you. Help me to trust you. That's when they get on board with you. You start driving their car. We start living in the moment and not for the moment. And then, Lord, we just need to stick to the truth of your word. We don't apologize for what it says. And I know at times it's not popular, but it is so important. I don't know how you've spoken this morning. I've preached somewhat of a random message. I didn't get all the points across, and our time is gone. But I know that you've been working. And I pray that as we open the altar and folks have a chance to respond, however you've spoken to them, I pray that you have prodded us, reminded us, convicted us of the work that needs to be done in our life. I pray that there's some great motivating message in our life that reminds us of the importance of serving you. And I pray that every person has said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Bless the invitation as we have it. In Jesus' name, amen.